were talking Monday night about in the Spirit. And in the Spirit is really the transition that the people of God made from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they didn't live in the Spirit. They didn't walk in the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. But we come into the New Testament and there's a transition. And we as believers ought to be interested in flowing in the flow of God in the New Testament. Amen. How many of you know we don't live like they lived in the sense that they didn't have the Holy Ghost in them to guide them, direct them, but we do. Praise God for a better covenant established upon better promises. And we can flow in ways they couldn't flow. And so I'm very interested in the in learning the flows of God, the flows of the Spirit in my life. I don't want to be a novice. I don't want to be unskilled. I don't want to be unknowledgeable. I want to be a taught. And so we'll see how this flows this morning. If it goes, fiery and teach, preach, that's fine with me. If it's teach, that's fine too. But we're just going to start looking at some scriptures. Now, I don't know if you're going to want to look at all these, actually turn to all them. But I just want to give you some references to start out with. Just seemed good to springboard from this morning. That use this term in the New Testament. These are not all of them by any means. You can look for other terms like by the Spirit. And there's probably another 15 of them or so. And I won't even get into all those, but let me just give you some verses just to think about. If you want to write them down in your notes, fine. I don't think you're going to have time to turn to them as I read them, but just to give you an idea of the emphasis the New Testament puts on in the Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit, what's it say? In the Spirit. He speaks mysteries. In the Spirit. We're going to look at this term this morning. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So far we've got praying in the Spirit. In the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries, talking about in tongues. And then we've got finishing your course by the Spirit. Then we've got here walking in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer or manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now notice he's not just referring to tongues because he says all manner of prayer. Who was it was talking about? Yeah, yesterday morning I believe Dr. Hadabaugh was talking about not just praying in tongues but being directed by the Spirit in English. And that's one of the things he's saying here, when all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching there unto. So listen to that. Not only praying in the Spirit, but watching in the Spirit. Watching in. Oh, how much time do you have this morning? Can we take this next week as well, Pastor? I'm submitted to you. But watching there. There's much exhortation of watching and praying. And here he said, do it in the Spirit. Watching doesn't mean with your physical eyes. He's talking about with your spirit. Have you ever heard Brother Hagin talk about with your spiritual antenna up? Pay attention to what's happening in that realm, what God's saying to you in your spirit, what's the movements of that realm, and moving with, because we want to move with that realm. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there in the Spirit unto, thereunto means thereunto prayer, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oh, I got to get past that because I could get stuck there and spend the whole service. Philippians 3:3. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Worshiping is to be done in the Spirit. Worship God in the Spirit and rejoice. Did we hear that last night? Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Woo, glory. I'm telling you, you can step over the law getting happy and dancing, can't you? Some of us stepped over the log last night. If you don't know what that term means, I don't have time to explain everything I say. All right, John 4:23. The hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, that literally means in your spirit. But how many of you know, we already know, as we see that we're going to look at this and understand this better, in the Spirit actually means out of your spirit by the unction and prompting of the Holy Spirit. So he said, we worship in spirit and in truth. The Father seeks such to worship him. He seeks men to come over into that realm, worship, pray, fellowship, receive from God, get direction, praise God. Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So he's seeing and knowing in that realm. I like this verse, Revelation 4:2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set. So he's seeing and knowing in that realm. Revelation 21:10, I'm just going to real quickly here. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain. I've had that experience before. I remember one time, I told the congregation, just to help them, I was in your living room, because this is an experience I had. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, I'm in the living room of some people in my church, and I saw and heard what they were talking about, and I'm gone. And I said, I just want you to know, I know what you were saying in your living room. And I said, in case you don't know for sure, you know I've never been to your house, right? Yeah, okay, here's what your couch looks like. It's brown, it's faced this way, over here's the fireplace, over here's that. I described the whole thing. And guess what? That's the last they talked about me. I just thought I'd share with them. Appreciate them knowing that. 2 Kings 5:26, he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? This is this Elijah? Elisha, one of them. Elisha. He was, not receiving gifts because Naaman was healed. And you remember the servant went and received the gifts, and he thought he was going to get away with it. And Elisha's spirit, he was caught up by the spirit, and he was there watching the whole thing. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So that's an Old Testament verse, but many of those are New Testament verses about this phenomenon, you might say, or this experience. Now, there's people, you hesitate, and I enjoy preaching this in churches like this, because you have a pastor that'll slap all the woo-woo out of you, kindly with the word, because people get woo-woo with this. But that doesn't do away with reality, a real move of God in this area of moving with God in the Spirit. Amen. Poke your neighbor and say, this is not the first church of woo-woo. Amen. Praise God. So really the degree, if you study this carefully, and I've been studying this for years, and then of course Brother Joel gave me all his notes and I'm preaching them too this morning. But if you study this very carefully, you'll find that the degree that you come short of walking and operating in the Spirit is the degree that you're walking out of the very plan of God and what God's provided for you. Jesus' blood was shed so you had access to this realm. It was shed. Jesus is the door. And so there's been a great price paid for you. It's really the realm of your inheritance. It's really the homeland of the believer. When you are finished down here, I'm not finished, you're not finished, but when you are, you're going to go into this realm for eternity. Praise God. It's your homeland. You say, well, I'm going to come back to earth and rule and reign. That's right, but you'll do it in the Spirit. Amen. So in the Spirit is the landmark for the church today. It's the landmark of those that went before us in God, those that passed the spiritual baton to us. It's the landmark of their ministry. They were people of the Spirit. They were, and those that are still our leaders today, Pastor Nancy. Of course, Dr. Frayne went on to heaven, but they were people of, Dr. Frayne was a person of the Spirit. Pastor Nancy is a person of the Spirit. Praise God. And if you look at people like us, that's our heritage. That's our spiritual lineage, so to speak. We're people, really the whole body of Christ is people, they're people of the Spirit. A lot of them just don't know it. But we're learning about this. And we're learning to tap into that realm, make use of the resources in that realm for a life in this realm as God intended it to be. I found that this realm gives meaning to my life in this realm. I'm going to talk about the spirit realm, gives meaning to my life in this natural realm. The Lord said to me a number of years ago, probably more than like 50, maybe closer to 10, 15 years ago now, he said, I want you to make life in the Spirit a priority for your faith. Okay. He said, then you'll have my perspective on life in the natural. Do you know you can start using your faith for something that's you're going the wrong direction with your faith because you're not getting from God that that's the direction you're supposed to go? And you can get off course, quote, in air quotes, in faith, believing for something that's really not a part of the plan of God for your life. I don't have time to explain that. Your pastor is such good pastors. I can say things like that, and you know what I'm talking about, I believe. And of course, you know, he has next week to clean up everything that I've messed up. But praise the Lord. Sometimes you just want to say some things. And so Pentecostals knew a little something about this realm. They knew about praying and getting over there, laying hold of things. Brother Hagin knew about it, and he endeavored to get Word of Faith, the Word of Faith camp into it. Some caught it. Amen. Some didn't. Amen. I did. Amen. I believe I'm looking at a group of people that caught some things along this line, and you're hungry to understand this, not to be weird, not to be, you know, walking around just sort of acting unusual whenever you ought to be working at your job. Right? I don't have time to pastor you. I don't need to pastor you. You got a good pastor. But we do want to be functional in this realm. Believers are a lot of times functional in the natural realm, but let's be functional in both realms. Jesus was very functional in both realms. He didn't act strange. Amen. But he was very functional. So praise the Lord. So this is a landmark. Brother Hagin forwarded this. Dr. Dufresne forwarded this. And really, if it wasn't for people like Brother Hagin, Dr. Dufresne, and now Pastor Nancy being leading out in some of these things, I know there's others. It's just where we're connected. But if it wasn't for that, some of these things would have been lost. Absolutely. Brother Hagin said some things about some things, or Jesus said to him, really, some things are going to be lost if you don't teach them, especially about the move of the Spirit. But you gotta pay attention to the realm of the Spirit in order to move with that. So really what Word and Spirit churches are, they're contending for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That's who we are. When we talk about the faith which was once delivered to the saints, we're talking about the whole thing. All that they use their faith to get into in the book of Acts, for example. In prayer meetings, they would pray and the anointing would fall. Amen. They would pray and angels would show up, get Peter out of jail. They got over in the Spirit. They must have been over in the Spirit because whenever Peter showed up knocking on the door, they weren't sure who he was. So, praise the Lord. Are you interested? I'm interested. I'm interested. So, it's no kind of life. I heard Brother Joel say this, and this is the last time I'm giving him credit for it. But he said, it's no kind of life to be limited to the natural world. I don't know how some people get meaning out of this natural world. As for me, if it wasn't for the being able to fellowship with God in His realm and hear from Him in His realm, move with Him in His realm, see the miracles that are available in that realm, lay hold of what's in that realm, and experience God in that realm, I really don't have much to live for down here. And it's so meaningless. But that realm brings meaning to everything in my life. He'll even enhance every area of this natural life. Amen. And so the natural realm, It functions, and we can function in it. But you ever remember years ago, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, they might have retired this now, I think, the space shuttle. You ever remember the space shuttle that was an aircraft that could, it had wings, it was like a glider, and it could function in this earth realm, or you might say the atmospheric conditions of the earth, around the earth. It could function there as a glider, but it was really designed for two realms. It was designed for the space realm, where they would go out and they would do experiments, and then of course they eventually got the space station out there, and they would haul people and cargo back and forth up there. They're doing experiments, a lot of things, and so. But it was a I don't know if you wouldn't want to call it a rocket. It was an aircraft or a spaceship, you might say, that could function very well up there. People could live in it and so forth and so on. But yet it had to come back to Earth, and it had wings, and it had the, you know, heat panels on it so that it could endure the heat coming back in and all of that. You remember that? And so it was an aircraft or a spacecraft, you might call it, that could function in two realms. Well, that's a little like us. We're created to function in more than one realm. And there is a higher realm. Amen. And the laws that govern that realm are different than this realm. We need to learn those laws. Somebody said, how do I learn them? They're all right here in the Word of God. Amen. And so we're going to look at this a little bit this morning. I think I'm talking to an interested crowd. And so being that we are like that in type, that we're like that space shuttle, that space shuttle had launching pads. They had there was a place they would put that thing to launch from it. And guess what? God has given you launching pads to exit this realm and go into His realm.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of those this morning. But before we get to the launching pads, I want to define this term a little bit. What does this term mean in the spirit? Anybody want to get a little bit better hold on that? Have you ever felt like spiritual truths are a little bit like a greasy pig? I don't know if you know what I mean by a greasy pig. We were on vacation one time out in Colorado, and we got real relaxed. We said, let's find something to do. And I looked online, and there was the state fair was happening in that county out there. And I'm like, state fair, oh, they're fun. And so we decided we would go, and we showed up, and there was a competition of a bunch of little kids. They had different age groups catching greasy pigs. Well, first of all, there was mutton riding, you know, where they'd ride the little sheep. But then they had a greasy pig contest. And some of those kids could barely walk. You know, they're like trying to get. But it was so fun. I got so many pictures of those kids catching greasy pigs. See, last night you heard about gorillas. Now you're hearing about greasy pigs. Don't you love this church? This is. But so those little kids, and boy, it was tough to get a hold of them. What do I mean greasy? They had greased them down with, I don't know, Crisco or whatever they greased them down with. And it's hard enough to catch a pig, but you get a greasy pig. But man, I'll never forget that one little girl. She was probably 6, 7 years old. She got a hold of that greasy pig, and she just wouldn't let go. Well, she won the greasy pig. Well, spiritual truths are like that sometimes. But I believe we're going to get a better hold of it this morning. Let's look at some of these terms, because we hear this term today in the Spirit. We see it in the Bible, we really want to learn to function in this. But I think to help function, I think we could do a little bit of, we could be benefited by learning what this term means. First of all, in the Spirit is short for the spirit realm. The Spirit, in the Spirit, is referring to a realm. Amen. And it's not an empty plane of nothingness. It is a real realm. It has real things there. Now, when I say real, I'm not talking about physical. Remember, the Bible talks about we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible talks about we look not at the things which are seen, but at the, say it out loud. Say it again. Things that are unseen. There are things that are not seen. They're not physical materialities, but they are real. In fact, everything in this realm came out of that realm. It's actually more real. I can prove that to you from the Word of God. I'll just give it to you real quick. I don't have the reference because I wasn't planning on saying it, but Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 8, talks about the natural tabernacle, and then, of course, the temple that was built on the earth was a pattern. King James says, I've quoted other translations so much, I don't know if I can quote the King James, but other translations say they were the natural tabernacle and temple was a pattern of the reality. I don't have the translations in front of me right now, but the other translations say that temple and tabernacle were a pattern of the reality. I thought this was reality. No, reality. See, what God was doing when he told Moses and then, of course, David and Solomon, how to design the tabernacle and the temple, he was telling him what the one in heaven's like. Yeah, there's the real one. This is not, the one that was there was not the real one. It was a replica, like your pastor said. It was patterning after the real one. Well, I thought this is the realm of reality. No, it's not. That's why Christians, see, when Christians don't have their minds renewed, they'll say things like this. I'm going to go to church. It's always good to go to church, but then I got to go back to the real world. Okay, carnal bucket. Amen. Come on, somebody. I said that with all the love in my heart. Amen. The realm of God is reality. And there are realities that are unseen. Woo, glory be to God. So that realm is not an empty plane of nothingness, I like to say. It's a real place. It's full of spirit beings. God is a spirit. It's his realm. Jesus is there. Remember whenever he ascended up and then the angel said he's coming back again? Well, where did he ascend up into? Is he just sitting on a cloud up there somewhere? No, he's in another realm. Amen. So it's full of spirit beings. Of course, there's demons in that realm, but we're not interested in that realm. If it pops its head up, we take it off and then we keep on going. But so it's full of spirit beings. It's full of activity. My. There's times I can sense at church, we have prayer times, of course, at our church. And there's times you get over into that realm and you can sense much activity due to your praying. Sometimes the activity of angels and things. And so there's a lot of activity there. So it's full of spirit beings, full of activity. It's full of resources. The throne of grace is there. You know, come boldly to the throne of grace, right? Well, where is that? Is that in Lexington? Is that in, maybe it's up in Chicago or maybe New York, huh? No, it's another realm. It's another realm. So it's full of spiritual, it's a realm. The throne of grace is there. It's full of spiritual rooms. The Bible talks about doors of the spirit. It talks about numerous spiritual commodities. You know, faith is literally a spiritual substance. Natural things were made out of the substance of faith. I don't have time to get into that. It's full of natural spiritual forces, love, peace. Peace is a force. Peace is a garrison. It can cause you to be in a bubble. You can be in like a bubble of God's peace because you've got your care cast over on the Lord and you don't let your mind go there like Pastor Dennis was talking about yesterday. And you're just dwelling in, and the world thinks, bless his darling heart, he's lost his mind because he's acting like he doesn't even realize what's going on. Oh, you know what's going on. It's just you're in a protected, peaceful bubble, a force field of peace that no force from the devil, no nothing can get through that. Pastor Nancy talks about a man in her church. He was in, I think it was the Iraq War, where he was in one of those pieces of military equipment. It was at a Humvee, and there was a piece of, I guess they went over one of those landmines, and the it blew shrapnel through the cab of the Humvee. And there was a guy maybe behind him or a couple guys, I don't remember the story exactly, who saw the shrapnel coming towards him, and they were kind of behind him, and the shrapnel bounced off of something, went around him, and therefore missed some of them, and then some of the other ones were hurt. Wow. What is that?
Yeah, what is that?
Something in the spirit realm. I'll take that if I need it. Yeah. There was a lady in our church that had an accident, and she saw it coming, and she said, Jesus!
Yeah.
And she said, for some reason, I don't know if it was an older vehicle or the airbag didn't go off. And she said, after the accident, she realized the airbag didn't go off. She said, but that's funny because whenever I said Jesus and the impact happened, she said, I went forward, but I didn't hit the steering wheel. Something, there was like a cushion there, just like, and I just sort of leaned against it. It didn't hurt me, and I backed off, and I'm fine. What was that? Holy Ghost airbag. God's got ways of doing things. There's all sorts of substance and materialities that you can tap into. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, we are kept people. Kept by the power of God. There's spiritual weapons there. The Bible talks about the armor of God, gifts of the Spirit, anointings, mantles, endowments, so many things. The angels dwell there. Praise God. It's a realm. Tell your neighbor it's a realm. And so I could take a lot more time with that as we go. You'll see this a little bit more. But I will say this, that it's a realm, that there are rooms there with miracles. Now, you have to understand the way I say that. It's not a miracle in that realm. Miracles in our realm are natural conditions in that realm. Okay. Amen. It's not unusual. Something that's to us miraculous is not unusual in that realm. Hallelujah. How many of you know we're not trying to get God on board with miracles? We're just simply accessing the normal conditions of that realm whenever we lay hold of something we need in this realm. Praise the Lord. And those things don't come into this realm just, what's the word, willy-nilly? Or have you ever used that term? Did I grow up too much on the East Coast to know what that means? There's something, there. Somebody went over into that realm and laid hold of that. We heard about a launching pad last night. You remember Psalm 100 verse 4, I believe it is? It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Hallelujah. There's gates, there's courts, and you can enter in. Woo! You're not locked out of that realm. You're invited into that realm. But you have to take advantage of the invitation. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. How do we do that? Well, we do it by faith, but you can do it by worship, like we heard last night, or rejoicing, and enter in and take advantage of everything that's there. Praise God. There's been times I really wanted to sleep because, you know, it was time for me to go preach. I wanted to sleep. I was so weary. But I just dipped into this realm and took 5 or 10 minutes, and all of a sudden I'm like, I can't wait to get to church. See, there's strength in that realm. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall what? Mount up. How do they renew their strength? They mounted up into another realm and they got charged, edified. And guess what? Spiritual edification will have an effect on your body. Praise the Lord. Hope I'm not sounding scatterbarreled on this. I'm just talking about that realm and all that's there. And so you and I are to, well, in one sense, I want to say we are to move towards that realm, but in another sense, we all are moving towards that realm. It's our future forever. Tell your neighbor, your future is amazing. But how many of you know your future starts right now? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So make movement. Learn to make movement towards that realm. Somebody said, how do I do it? You do it with the part of your being that came from that realm. Your spirit man. That man's born again. He's born of that realm. Your citizenship is in that realm. In fact, you have a new identification in that realm. You're not Joe Blow from Kentucky, you know, Louisville, wherever you're from Paducah, Kentucky. You're somebody in that realm. You're seated with Jesus in that realm. You're in authority in that realm. Anything from the demon powers that rise up, you're in authority over them. Hallelujah. So can you see why we should be interested in this realm? Be interested in entering into it. Now, I can't take the time. This is such a big subject. Let me say this. Satan has strategies against you entering into this realm. Pastors know what I'm getting ready to say. There are times that people who otherwise are always entering into a good service, moving with God together with the rest of the congregation, there are times that they just sit there. And you're tempted to go up to them, and I have talked to them. Maybe I didn't approach it exactly the way I'm going to say it right now, but I go up to them after the service, and I might not say it exactly like this, but in one way or another, I'm saying, what's up?
What's your deal?
What's your deal tonight? You were a dud. I didn't say it that way, but that's basically what I'm saying. And they'll usually say something like this: well, I had a big fight with my wife on the way to church and so forth and so on. Well, what why couldn't they enter in? They're being held by that emotional realm. Strife is holding them out of that realm. That's a strategy of the enemy to keep people out of that realm. Strife is a strategy of the enemy. Condemnation is a strategy of the enemy. These things we talk about, the enemy has a lot of things he's going to work to try to keep you from entering into that realm. He'll distract you, keep you busy, keep you in your head rather than operating out of your spirit. If you're in your head, you're not going to enter that realm, because you do this. You enter that realm from your heart. Praise the Lord. So know that, and I all these things could be taught out a lot further than I'm teaching this morning, but just laying a little bit of it, just kind of was led to kind of do it this way this morning. Amen. And so every man's got to choose his world. Every man, Pastor Nancy said that. Every man has to choose his world. Are you going to live out of your mind? Are you going to live out of your emotions? Are you going to live out of your flesh? Well, I just don't feel like going to church. Are you going to live there for the rest of your life? How's that working out for you? Learn to switch. Get yesterday morning's service. Pastor Dennis did such a good job. Halfway through his service, I resigned from the ministry, and then I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm just kidding. I didn't. But so appreciate all these supplies. But learn not to live there. Learn to live in a place that... how would I say it? Learn to live not just tolerating situations, but learn to live in a place of victory over situations. You know what I mean? I'll just leave it with that. Praise the Lord. Okay, so it's a realm. Tell your neighbor it's a realm. It's an unseen realm, right? Another way you could define in the spirit... And then you have to hear me out on this, because you could misunderstand this. And that is, the term in the spirit means a way you do something. Okay. Now, that could be misunderstood, so let me speak, you know, clarify what I'm saying. A way you do something. Now, look, in order to understand this, go to 1 Corinthians 14 and look with me at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. I believe yesterday morning, Dr. Hadabaugh was here. Maybe mentioned you made use of this verse. I was taking some notes and, you know, didn't catch everything he was saying, but I think he was at this verse. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Anybody know what it says? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, right? He that speaks in an unknown tongue, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Look at that. Howbeit what? In the spirit, he's speaking mysteries. So when you're speaking in tongues, he calls it being in the spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you're having a vision or anything, but he uses this term, you're in the spirit. Okay, in order to understand this just a little bit better, go over to verse number 14. And verse number 2, he's talking about speaking in tongues, right? Verse 2, he's talking about speaking in tongues. Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue. Okay, now he's talking about the same thing. Praying in tongues or speaking in other tongues. If I pray in an unknown tongue, so if I'm in the spirit, because verse 2 said, when I'm doing this, I'm in the spirit. I hope you're following me. When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. The Amplified Classic adds, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. Do you know he just defined in the spirit? Because verse 2 says that's in the spirit when you're praying in tongues. I know this is basic, but I go back over this all the time to help keep me real balanced on this. When I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying not out of my mind, because he said my understanding's unfruitful. I'm praying out of my spirit, but not just out of my spirit, by the Holy Spirit in me. By the help of the Holy Spirit within me. You remember on the day of Pentecost, they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, the utterance was given to them. Okay, think about this. If it was given, where did the utterance come to? Did it come to their mind? No, he said, my mind is unfruitful. The Spirit gave the utterance to their spirit. The Holy Spirit gave the utterance to their spirit. And they spoke out what was coming to their spirit. Right? 1 Corinthians 14:2 says that was in the spirit. And when you did that, you were in the spirit. So what does that mean? I like to define in the spirit as doing something, and not just tongues, worshiping God, doing something that you're led to do in a particular situation, and go in a direction you're led to go. You're doing it out of your spirit by the Holy Spirit within you. That's in the spirit. You're doing it out of your spirit by the leading, guiding, unction of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? When you do that, you tap into that realm and all the resources there. Amen. Praise God. And you tap into miracles. You know, miracles don't begin out here. They begin right here with an unction. Hallelujah. I've had some of the most mighty things. I've had miracles of hundreds of thousands of dollars just by following an unction right here. Praise God. Woo, glory be to God. Now, it's not all about money. There's many other things that I've walked in and out of because of the unction. That's the definition of in the spirit. Doing something out of your spirit. It could be following the leading of the spirit in prayer. It could be following the leading of the spirit in just worshiping. It could be following the leading. You get something come up out of your spirit to dance. Amen. Just Sunday morning in our church in Kansas City, I was preaching on some things, and a man got so thrilled with the word, he took off with the out, and it just came up out of his spirit. He took off and shouted. It's totally out of character with this guy. He's one of those guys that's real quiet, and when you look at him sometimes, you wonder, is he glad to be here? You know, he's just one of those guys that doesn't have the expressions. And so that's the only way I knew him, because this church is only a year old. I'd only ever seen him like with that. He's very friendly and everything when you talk to him, but he's just got a face that wouldn't tell you he's enjoying anything. And anyway, and I'm preaching, teaching, ministering, and he goes, "Whoa!" And he took off and ran across the back of the church. And I knew in my spirit he just got the miracle he's believing for, because they live all the way down in Arkansas. God spoke to them to come join the church in Kansas City. And they put their house on the market. It's been on the market for a year and no buyers. Not even an offer. But when he did that, I got it in my spirit. You just got your miracle, brother. And we got the text on Monday. Two offers on the house. Woo! He just did what we heard last night. Amen. It's almost like what he said was true. Unbelievable. No, it is believable. Praise the Lord. Do it out of, see, he did that out of his spirit. He certainly didn't do it out of his personality. I tried that on the Lord one time. I said, it's not my personality. And he gave me a low blow. He said, because he knew the way I grew up, denominational background, the way I grew up. The way I grew up is we had a lot of fun, but when we got to church, God's nervous, and then after church, hey, everybody, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, we all thought that was reverence. Well, there was a lot of other stuff in there. Anyway, so that's the way I grew up. I said, this isn't my personality. One time the Holy Ghost was moving at Rhema. And he said, yeah, your personality was basically formed by unbelief. Knocked the wind right out of me. We're not doing things out of our personality. We're doing things out of our spirit by the unction of the Holy Ghost. And some of you might be like me. I won't accuse you, but some of you might be like me. You need to get past your personality. I've had to do that many times. Praise the Lord. So it's a way of doing something. Remember I said in the spirit means in the spirit realm, it's a realm. But in the spirit here, you can see, can be defined as a way of doing things. Now, that doesn't mean you could misinterpret that and say, okay, a way of doing something means you got to do it loud. Maybe prayer. Do it loud. If I'm loud, I'm in the spirit. Not necessarily. That's not what I mean by a way. When I say a way, I'm talking about out of your spirit by the leading and unction of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So praying in the spirit is a way of praying. And you can do that. You can do it in tongues, but you can do it in English. You can do it many different ways. Praise the Lord. Now, when you do something out of your spirit by the leading of the Holy Spirit, the power will meet that. You remember Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit? Other translations translate in the Spirit as led by the Spirit, right, under the anointing of the Spirit, right, or in the power of the Spirit. So when you do something led of the Spirit, you'll tap into power to bring that to pass.
Yes. Wow. Amen.
You just stepped over into another realm and the resources of that realm. Praise the Lord. This is really what Dr. Hadabaugh was preaching yesterday morning whenever he said, living on from the inside out. Praise God. Isn't that good? See how these are all flowing together? Praise God. So, let me say this. If you're praying in tongues and something else comes up other than tongues and you don't go with it, you're no longer in the Spirit. Did you get that? I've had that before where I'm praying in tongues and I'm prompted to do something. I'm prompted, let's just take an illustration, I'm prompted to get up and just shout and do like we did last night. But I didn't want to. Yeah, personality. And the anointing lifted off of praying in tongues. Why? Because I'm no longer in the Spirit. Amen. I'm telling you, we get some answers if we listen this morning. Praise the Lord. So you and I have to transition out of the old way of living. What do I mean? I'm talking about living out of here, living out of the flesh, feelings, emotions. I said you and I. Praise the Lord. It shouldn't be that because we're tired in the flesh that we just don't go with what God's doing from the leadership on the platform in our church services. We need to get past our flesh. Amen. So, it's a new way of doing things. Jesus lived his whole life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And because of that, he had some interesting responses to some of the circumstances that rose in his life. Here, I'll give you an illustration. Whenever they woke him in the boat and said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" He didn't respond. See, he awoke to a chaotic scene, wind, waves, boat filling up. And not only that, a bunch of disciples full of fear, tripping out, saying, "You don't care." Jesus was accused twice. We have record of, at least I know of, twice where he didn't care. That must have meant people were impressed with the fact he wasn't carrying the care of things. He's sleeping. That was not a big boat. It might have been a little wider, longer than this section here of chairs is wide. It wasn't a big ocean liner like where you could sleep through it, where it just gradually goes that way and this way. No, it's probably going boom, and Jesus is back there sleeping. That's peace. And that's yours. My peace I give to you. So he's sleeping through that, and they woke him. So don't you care that we perish? And his response is not, "Oh my goodness, well, get a bucket, I'll help you bail." Because the boat was filling up with water, right? That would have been a natural response. He awoke and he reached into another realm. And he grabbed an answer for the whole thing that had never entered the mind of a mortal man up until the day he did this. Peace. Be still. Where'd he get that thought? Wasn't his natural mind. See, he's walking in fellowship with his Father. And because of that fellowship, he's aware of what his Father is saying. He's aware. You might say he's aware of the unction. He's aware of what the Spirit is directing him to do. And he pulled the answer out of that realm and met a need in this realm. But that's not the only time he did that. He did that over and over and over again. Needed tax money. Go down there and go fishing and put first hook, the fish will have the coin in his mouth, right? He's taking, that's not knowledge he had in his natural mind. He didn't know everything all the time, but he got that out of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Well, that's Jesus. He could do that. Yeah, and he's God's sample son. He's the firstborn of many brethren. Glory. I said glory. And he's our example. Glory to God. And so that's Jesus and how he lived. Everything around him at times was, there were many needs around him. When people came up and brought their sick, Jesus didn't respond in the natural, I'm so sorry, sweetheart, I'm not a medical doctor. Right? He's not ministering healing from the natural. He's ministering it from the realm of God. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, and it delivered him from some, like that time on the boat, it delivered him from a very traumatic situation. The best thing you can do in traumatic situations is not panic. Because that what you instantly do is you go here. Right? The best thing you can do is dip. Look, what's rising up out of your spirit?
Right.
Amen. Because a lot of times the first response is going to determine where you end up.
Yeah.
Well, just saying.
Amen.
Praise God. So he showed us a way of living, right? So that's number two. Number three, it's a state. Now, I'm not talking about Kentucky. Revelation 4, 2 and 3, which we referred to, he was in the spirit and instantly he became more conscious of that realm than he was of wherever he was praying. I don't know much about the Isle of Patmos where he was. I don't know if there were buildings there, do you know? Or if it was just raw or just nothing there. So maybe he's out by a tree or kneeling by a rock or something. Wherever he's out in nature probably then. And so whenever he went into the spirit, all of a sudden he's not as aware of the woods around him or whatever, or that maybe he's over by the water or something. He's not aware of that at all. He's aware of God and his realm, and he's aware of the throne of God. The elders are there. The angels are there. He sees the rainbow over the throne if you read the whole story. So that is a state of consciousness that shifts. That's what I mean by it's a state. Your consciousness shifts to that realm. Now, in this case, it was actually a vision, which we would call discerning of spirits. And that's one of the higher levels of this. But you don't have to have that in order for your consciousness to shift to that realm. Your consciousness can shift to that realm by just looking real closely at the map of that realm, which is the Word of God. That the Word gives you a map of everything in that realm. And it will create an awareness of that realm. It'll create an awareness of God. You know, in tests and trials, you need to have a real strong awareness of the greater one. Amen. So you don't have to have a manifestation of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, there was a servant of Elisha. Was it Elisha again? Wherever the Syrian army surrounded them. And, the servant got up one morning to let the dog out. And he's out there and his eyes aren't even open yet. And he's stretching. Oh, hurry up. Do your business, you know. And so he blinks a few times and the whole city's surrounded by enemy army, because Elisha is telling the king the enemy's secrets that he made in the enemy's battle plans he made in secret to come against Israel. And Elisha's hearing in the spirit, or maybe seeing in the spirit, and he's coming back to his king and say, okay, they're going to come up this place, so have some reinforcements over there. And they would ambush him every single time.
The advantage.
That's what in the spirit will do for you. I'm telling you, when you walk in the Spirit, you'll walk in complete dominion. You'll be in charge. So anyway, he's blinking. He's like, whoa. He went in and said, alas, my Lord. That's another way of saying he tripped out. He freaked out. Ah. And Elisha said, there's more with us than be with them. Whoa. One, two, the dog, a half. I count 2.5, and out there I saw multitudes. And he said, open his eyes. Remember the mountains were filled with angels and chariots? You know what that's, I guarantee, I want to talk to that servant when I get to heaven. Because I think he's going to say something like this. He's going to say, my whole perspective changed. Because he became aware. Now, he had actually a vision, a discerning of spirits. But you don't have to have that to tap into what's in that realm. Or to make use of what's in that realm. How many of you believe when his perspective changed, he went from freaking out to pity the fool? Right? Absolutely. His whole perspective changed. And that'll happen to you when you enter into the presence of God. You're going through tests and trials and you feel like a victim until you realize I am seated with Jesus in heavenly places. I've been given authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. And you come out of there like your whole perspective changed. Glory be to God. Amen. I said, hallelujah. 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 Have you ever taken a plane flight and let's say you're running late to get to the plane and, you know, you're behind anyway, and then your wife says, zip my bag closed, and it's so full of stuff that you can't, you're cramming and you're walking on top of it trying to zip it closed. I just told on my wife. Anyway. And it takes you 5 minutes to get that closed, and you're later now than you ever were. And then the dog does his business over there. You got to clean that up. And you're later. And then you get out in the traffic, and you get in a traffic jam. And you're just, right? And then you get on that plane, and you rise up. And you lean back. You look out the window at that traffic jam, and it seems so beneath you, and seems so small, and it seems so powerless. Amen. That's what it's like to get in the Spirit. Your perspective changes. You mount up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So can you see the different changes? And if you want to read a whole chapter on that, read Psalm 73. It's a wonderful chapter about a guy who he thought, it's not paying for me to serve God. And then he said, I went into the presence of God. And he said, man, I better put a hand over my mouth. I was so foolish. And he got a totally different perspective. Praise the Lord. Can you handle just a little bit more? Yes. Let's just talk quickly. I'm running out of time. I don't even remember what time I started. And that's probably to my advantage. But let's just talk about this a little bit. You and I want to talk a little bit real quickly. I'm not going to take much time. You and I need to locate the unction. Where is the unction in this situation I'm dealing with? Where is the unction? I could tell you testimonies if I had the time of financial miracles that we have had that would just bless you. But at times, I got into it by unction to sow. At times, I got into it by unction to rejoice, like we did last night. At times, I got into it. This has happened like 3 times now. It's just been amazing. I had unction to pray in the Holy Ghost for more than usual. And at the time, I wasn't even aware that he was having me pray out a financial miracle. But whenever I prayed whatever that was out, within like a week, sometimes less, a huge financial miracle would take place. And I would realize in my spirit, I prayed that out. Yeah, you get in the spirit and you lay hold of it. Sometimes you're not even exactly sure, 100% sure what you laid hold of. Amen. So you got to locate the unction. Somebody said, do the word. Okay, fine. It's a big book. Which do you do like what you did, what we did last night? And to be honest, we should always be doing what we did last night. But when you get in, when you do that and yield to the Holy Ghost, sometimes you'll get in that realm and then you'll see and know, okay, now do this. Amen. Because that's the place, when you get in the Spirit, that's the place of hearing. And you'll hear and you'll see and you'll know, ah, here's what I do. I'll go do it. Miracle. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So locate the unction. Praise the Lord. The unction is your exit ramp. I'm almost done. I don't know what time I started. But you know, when you're going down the road of life, so to speak, and you encounter tests and trials, there's a way of escape from that. God is faithful. He said he'll always provide a way of escape. But you've got to locate the exit. Where's the exit? Well, where's the unction? Where's the unction? Amen. Where's the unction? And once you locate the unction, take that. Take that. It's your exit ramp. It's the way out, so to speak. Praise God. It's also an entrance ramp into the power of God. You can get out of the circumstances into the power of God. I'm not just talking about the power. I mean the power in manifestation. That's what I'm interested in, aren't you? And so I say it this way. Every test and trial has a yield sign sitting by it. When you come to a test and trial, if you look, there'll be a yield sign by it, placed there by God, which says, yield here. You know what I mean by that? I mean, rejoice. It could be rejoice, right? Yield here. And when you yield, not to the test and trial, not to worry, but you yield to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, when you yield to that, you actually get out of the test and trial. Amen. Praise God. So always look for the yield sign. When I say yield, I mean yield to the Holy Ghost here. Yield to the power of God here. The better we get at doing at this, the quicker we'll get out of stuff. If it takes us a long time to yield, it's going to take us a long time to get out of stuff. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Paul and Silas were in jail, and they looked up at the wall of the jail, and it said, yield here, prayer and praise. Right? So they prayed and sang praises and got out. Power fell. Praise the Lord. So whatever you're going through, look up. There's a sign somewhere. Yield here. Here's your way out. What a way of life. But I'll wrap this up. There's things I'm not getting to. But I'll wrap this up by saying I heard a statistic that said in the, let me read it because I don't want to tell you wrong. In the World War II, there was approximately 25,000 bullets fired for every enemy combatant killed. 25,000 bullets fired for every enemy combatant killed. That's World War II. In the Korean War, there was approximately 50,000 bullets fired for every combatant killed. During Vietnam, there was about between 100 and 200,000 bullets fired for every combatant killed. And it was during that war, they were fighting in the jungles. It was a bit different kind of a war. There was a popular phrase that evolved called spray and pray. You ever heard that term? That just meant get your guns out. Just hope you hit something. Well, how many of you know that's not what we're called to do when we encounter things? Just, well, let's try this, or let's try this, or let's just spray. Let's bind and let's loose. And if loosing doesn't work, then bind. And if that doesn't work, pray in tongues. And if that doesn't work, use the name of Jesus. Somebody said, it all works. I've been there when things weren't working because I was doing it out of here. Remember that story Brother Hagin told of the young preacher that was staying at the pastor's house, but then the pastor got called out, had to do something, and then the pastor's daughter, the pastor's wife was there, but the daughter in the middle of the night had a seizure. And called this young preacher and said, come pray. And he did everything he knew to do. He prayed, he bound, I don't know what he did, prayed in tongues. He did it all and nothing worked. And then the mom, whenever he was all done, the mom said, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And she started worshiping God, and then everybody else got quiet and started doing the same thing. The seizure stopped. Remember that? Wow. What'd she do? She hit the unction. She hit the unction. That's where it was. And they were standing there talking. They got back over the natural, and the seizure started again. And so the young meat preacher, I think he was only like 16 or 18 years old, he did everything he knew to do. He went through his, you know, what they said in Bible school, do this, do this, do this, do this. He went through it all, nothing. And the mom did the same thing when he was done and got quiet. Praise you, Jesus. And they praised, and the power fell. And that time, the seizure stopped, and it never came back. Locate the unction. Locate the unction. Hallelujah. Like I said, it's a big book. I mean, you know, which part are you supposed to do? Well, just do it all. That's called spray and pray. Yeah, it's a lot of wasted energy. The better we get. Oh, by the way, the military changed tactics after that, and they started developing sniper schools. And in sniper school, their ratios now are about 1.3 bullets fired for every combatant killed. That's where I want to get in the spirit. Where something comes up, I'm like, shaka taka, there it is, bam! Yeah. Yeah. And the devil goes, ay, 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 ay! Yeah! It's back to eating my meal. I'm not going to waste any more time on this. Shout out loud, somebody. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Stand up with me. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I wanted to talk about some of the launching pads. I didn't get into it, but I'll just say it quickly. Prayer is one. Pray. I had written down last night, I had written down praise and worship, but I added this. Praise, worship, and rejoicing. Praise, worship, and rejoicing. Amen. Another one is just the Word of God. You know, I had an experience. This was, I don't know how many years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was. My wife and I, one Saturday afternoon, it was an unusual afternoon. Her and I sat in the living room for probably 3 hours, both of us just feeding on the Word. I don't think in 3 hours we said anything to each other. We were just both, I was getting ready for my service. Well, really, I was just fellowshipping with God. But I'm really spent a lot of time just meditating on the Word of God. And, you know, after 3 hours, nobody say anything, your mind gets real quiet. You can get real focused on what you're doing. And I'll never forget it. While I'm doing that, totally unexpected this to happen. I didn't expect it. But while I'm doing that, all of a sudden, it's like I went into my Bible, and all of a sudden, I'm seeing in another realm. And I saw, and actually, the voice of the Lord came to me. There's a lot more than I'll give details this morning. But the word of the Lord came to me. I saw a person. I saw they were going to be the next president of the United States. In fact, I heard the word of the Lord. And so forth. And he told me some things, and I can't get into it all. But then after that was all done, whoop, there I am back again. I'm like, whoa. How'd I get into that realm? Just the word. Just the word. I wasn't seeking that. Don't seek these things. In fact, I was shocked when it happened. The next morning, that was Saturday afternoon. The next morning, of course, we had church service. And back then, we don't do it anymore, but back then we used to always get the Sunday paper. The big thick one, you know, that has all the ads for all the stores for all the week. You know, you get to the place, you're so blessed, it doesn't matter. But we were always looking at the coupons and all that. So it got old after a while. How many of you know your mentality needs to change? And so, but anyway, I was looking at this newspaper and everything, and we ate lunch. I threw the newspaper down I sat down on the living room floor, threw the newspaper down, and it fell open. And I looked on the front page, and it had a picture of this particular person that I saw Saturday night. And it said, so-and-so announced their campaign for president. And we were in Iowa. They were in another state next door. And the moment, let me get this. That had happened, I think, the day before. And then the paper said they came to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which was where I was. Well, my home's a little south of that, but that's where we pastor. They came to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and that was their first campaign stop. They announced in another state, then they drove over, and their first campaign stop was Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Wow. And it said, at such and such a time. And I looked, I was like, it was the very moment I went into the Spirit. And the Lord said, they're going to be the next president of the United States. Wow. They came into my city and had a campaign rally. The moment they stepped on the platform in my city, I went into the Spirit, and the Lord showed me what was going to happen. But say, how did I get into that? I got in just, I wasn't even expecting it. I wasn't asking. I didn't know they were running, all of that. But I just went into the Spirit through the Word, through just feeding on the Word. Hallelujah. That's a doorway, you might say. The Word is a doorway into that realm. It's a ramp into that realm, you might say. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. Lift your hands and give him thanks this morning. We're grateful. Grateful for your plan for us as believers. We thank you, Father, for the richness of life through walking in the Spirit, living life in the Spirit. It adds such meaning, such dimension, such just fulfillment, I might say, Father, to have access to you and all that you have, all that you know, all of your power, all of your ability, all your help, all your comfort, all your wisdom, all your strength, all that you are, it's all ours. Thank you for teaching us this morning how to access it. In Jesus' mighty name, we bless you this morning, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, 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 we bless you. Hallelujah. I hear the Holy Ghost saying the invitation is yours. The opportunity is yours. Take advantage of your opportunity. Take advantage of your advantage and rule and reign. Dominate in all the affairs of life. Be as one as is Superman, a man above the natural who lives and moves with me, says the Lord. Hallelujah. And watch your life take on the fullness of my plan. The availability of all I provided for you is laying waiting. It is your inheritance. Walk on, reach and learn, know and perceive and go on and develop your spirit. Your spirit man longs to have dominion. Your spirit man longs to fellowship with me in that realm. Let him have what he longs for. Let him have what he needs, and he will develop in this realm. And you will develop in sensitivity to this realm, and you will live way above the way you in the past lived. But you'll live in complete victory, always having the answers, always having that which you need, always actually being ahead of the enemy and laughing all the way through because you're walking free. Free, free, free. No more bondage. No more playing catch up. No more playing cleanup, but fully ruling and reigning as I've ordained that you do. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Makes me think about Ephesians 5, especially in the Amplified. You know that we're not to walk or live foolishly, but to live accurately, to live precisely. And that's the instruction of how to do that. It's in the Spirit. And I wrote down in my notes, it's not all spectacular. If God wants to give you a vision, if he wants to give you a dream, he's perfectly willing, and I'm not against that. But like he said, I'm not seeking that. I was thinking about the Hadabals' testimony when you know, they were made to know by the Holy Ghost it was time for them to launch out and start their own church. Well, it's a big country. It's a big world. And did you guys just, you just had a witness? Did you just know it was Texas? Is it, you knew that at least?
God showed me in prayer a region.
Okay, a region.
And we went out and prayed in the Spirit throughout that whole area.
So they flew into Texas, got in the car, and just drove from town to town. I am so thankful you said, I've never heard that really before, locate the unction. Y'all get that. He gave you the victory key to pull the trigger on all of that. You just grow, this isn't it.
And if it's not, be willing to back up.
Right. They didn't, you know, like this neighborhood, like the city and go, okay, we're going to do it here. No, they're looking for the unction. They don't have a personal preference. Maybe they did, but they overrode it. They're there not looking for a personal preference to start a church, right? They're not doing statistical studies.
Hello. Yeah, that's right.
You know, but they're driving taking a tour of the Holy Ghost through Texas. And I think you just checked them off. Well, we only got one place left. Let's go to Georgetown. And drove over there. Unction. And not, you tell me, but I never heard you say you saw a vision, that you heard an audible voice, that an angel appeared in the back seat and said, this is it. But you had a witness. You had a witness. Yeah. Down on the inside. And then I'm not going to take all the time, but I just picking on their testimony, you know, so they got the right city. But then, you know, to start where they started in a storefront, same thing. And then to buy, when they did buy land, what land? What land, where, what part? Got the land. And then Dr. Dufresne came and got on that land and ministered in their church and got in the spirit and saw a grandma walk in that land 100 years before. Saying, oh God, raise up a great work, raise up a great church on this ground. They didn't know it. Who's going to know it? But it's the plan of God. The Holy Ghost knows it. But by just simply following the witness. Accurate. And you can see over the course of 22, 23 years pastoring there, being accurate makes all the difference. Than just trying to throw things on the throne room wall of prayer, hoping something sticks, that God decides to shine on you that day. We so privileged. I mean, generally, but us to be hearing this. Yeah, I've said to my folks a lot in the past. The people who pray, no. The people who don't, guess. They guess. And most often they guess way wrong. Yeah. Well, the seller, I've been holding this land for you. Yeah.
And that lamb was there for 30 years. She'd been holding for us.
Right. Supernatural, not necessarily spectacular. And Brother Hagin said, many of my people are, God's people are missing out on the supernatural because they're looking only for the spectacular. Thank God for the spectacular. You know, I haven't had these experiences really as spectacularly as some of these men. But my life and my ministry has had an accuracy because I haven't necessarily felt like I can't do it unless I see Jesus or hear a voice. But just learning to follow the witness, those subtle promptings, and it may not be as spectacular as someone else's testimony, but it's just as fruitful and effective. The safer to be that way, right? And I love this. This is not just for fivefold ministers. Every one of us living this way every day. Goes back to what I said yesterday, an advantage. What an advantage. It's an unspeakable, immeasurable advantage. And we were born to win. Born to win. So thank you, Pastor Jay, for just obeying God, and all of you for obeying God.